Young people and a fairy chart. Young people continue to be marginalized in SRH programs and interventions all over Asia. Although they may be included in laws and policies, their inclusion and participation may often be tokenistic. Young people, particularly young women and girls, need all sexual and reproductive health services and interventions related to maternal health, including access to contraception and abortion. They also need access to safe, youth-friendly services which cater to both married and unmarried young people. Child and early marriages are a reality in many countries of South and Southeast Asia, making accessibility to FRHR services a must in this region. When FRHR services are aimed at only married people, it leaves out the number of young people who may be sexually active and also young adult women who may be sexually active but unmarried. Information on sexuality is therefore important for all, irrespective of age, gender, marital status, and whether one is sexually active or not. This can enable all people, including young people, to participate in informed decision-making about their own bodies and their sexuality. There are a number of issues that hamper effective and consistent application of interventions towards young people as a group. First and foremost, there is no consensus on the age limit for defining a young person within a region, with different countries defining young people differently. Even within the same country, different laws and policies may have different definitions as well. For example, the law on child protection in Indonesia states that every child shall have the right to health services and social security in accordance with their physical, mental, spiritual, and social needs, thus recognizing the evolving capacities of young people. The penal code, however, criminalizes people who provide information related to the prevention and termination of pregnancy. This is further supported by the law on pornography, which does not clearly distinguish between pornographic materials and materials on sexuality education, thus prohibiting people from distributing information on sexuality education. Secondly, young people must also be understood as a non-homogeneous group with a variety of concerns and needs. Interventions and services must therefore cater to this population. Some countries in the region already have sound policies on SRH in place. In Cambodia, the National Reproductive Health Program was created in 1994 to provide young people with the right to receive information and education about reproductive health, and ensures privacy when receiving health care. Note reference 143. In addition, the National Strategy for Reproductive and Sexual Health in Cambodia 2006-2010 provides guidelines for youth-friendly reproductive and sexual health services and child survival. Note reference 144. Meanwhile, Thailand has promoted a positive youth development approach, outlining a strategy that encompasses increasing knowledge of SRH, promoting the safe and supportive environment, offering youth-friendly health services, and enhancing youth participation and empowerment. Note reference 145. However, the rising number of adolescent pregnancies, increased usage of emergency contraception, and high rates of unsafe abortion suggest that more needs to be done. Note reference 146. In contrast, in Lao PDR, there is no national youth policy or strategy addressing adolescent sexual and reproductive health ASRH, and young people are not addressed in the 7th National Socio-Economic Development Plan 2011-2015. Note reference 147. There are also no policies or legislations in Pakistan that exclusively protect young people's freedom to control their sexual and reproductive life. When considering interventions for young people, it is important to look at their evolving capacities to make informed decisions regarding their SRH, and that they may be included in all programs related to SRHR. For example, the right of young people less than 18 years to access reproductive health services from public facilities was denied by the Supreme Court in their decision on the reproductive health law in the Philippines. Note reference 148. Placing minors under the jurisdiction of both parents and, to a lesser degree, the state. In such situations, adolescents' ability to decide on matters relating to sexuality and reproduction rests on their parents' consent, even though the government may have enabling programs. In Malaysia, the progressive policies for young people's SRH and SRR services, including contraception, are available in all government hospitals and clinics. However, Young people often remain unaware of such services, thus continuing to have an unmet need. Note reference, 149. In Mongolia, the 4th National Reproductive Health Program adopted for 2012 to 2016 aims to implement 100% condom use to target young people and to expand adolescent-friendly health services. However, page 33. According to the Health Act, guardian or parental consent is still required for girls up to age 18 if they request late abortion. Additionally, although the National Public Health Policy 2001 obligates the state to provide sound sexuality education for adolescents, it is inadequately implemented due to lack of budgetary allocation and negligence of marginalized groups among young people. Note reference, 150. Similarly, the Bangladesh government has approved an Adolescence Health Strategy 2006 which talks about general services for school children but has special services for out-of-school and married adolescent girls. The comprehensive sexuality education in the school curriculum is still underway. Although there is no need for consent from parents and guardians when accessing health services, in practice, irrespective of marital status, girls cannot access menstrual regulation services or services related to surgery without parental consent. In India, the National Population Policy 2000, the National AIDS Prevention and Control Policy 2002, the National Youth Policy 2003, and the Reproductive and Child Health RCH programs INII recognize adolescents as a distinct group and their SRH are needs requiring special attention. These policies recommend that SRH information, counseling, and services should be affordable and accessible to adolescents. Both RCH and the National Youth Policy state that adolescent-friendly healthcare services should be provided in primary healthcare centers for adolescents. As per the RCH policy, irrespective of one's own marital status, all services available must be youth-friendly. However, abortion services for girls below the age of 18 require parental or guardian consent. In contrast, the law in China does not necessitate parental consent for young girls obtaining an abortion in both private and public services. This is not from a rights-based perspective but from the point of view of population control. This assumption is based on the fact that until now there is no specific policy or strategy document on provision of SRH services for Chinese adolescents. There is also no official document that permits minors to give informed consent on their own behalf in relation to SRH. Nepal developed and published a National Adolescent Health and Development Strategy in 2000. The draft of a national ASRH program was drafted in 2008 under the leadership of the Family Health Division. It was piloted in 2009 in 26 public health facilities. Note reference, 151. The National ASRH program designed in 2011 is also now being implemented nationwide. It aims to introduce 1,000 adolescent-friendly services AFS in Nepal by 2015. As of December 2012, 542 health facilities with AFS had been built. Note reference, 152. The availability and accessibility of SRH services are limited to married adolescents in some countries, with the assumption that sexual activity takes place only among married people. In Lao PDR, for example, adolescents have almost no access to contraception, including condoms. Although the National Policy on Birth Spacing stipulates the provision of birth spacing methods to those in NIC, irrespective of their marital or social status, health staff generally do not provide such services to unmarried adolescents. Note reference, 153. Adult youth communication on SRH issues is rare in island communities and remains limited in urban areas. Note reference, 154. In Indonesia, the law on population and family development mentions the provision of family planning services, but only for married couples. Some other barriers that restrict young people from accessing SRH services include physical access barriers that relate to inadequate services and lack of infrastructure, psychosocial barriers including myths and misconceptions related to sexuality, and quality barriers including lack of privacy and confidentiality. For an effective response, it would be important that we not only have an in-depth understanding of the community of young people, taking into consideration their heterogeneity and their diverse needs and concerns, but also strive towards creating safe spaces for them to access information, services, and interventions. These spaces must cater to all young people irrespective of their age, gender, caste, economic class, disability, marital status, and HIV status, among others. It must work towards providing a comprehensive sexuality education for all. Further, laws and policies in the country must also cater to the rights of young people and provide for an environment that is safe and nurturing their well-being. Page 34.